This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Which Eagles players scare you? And I've already seen a couple of people text in lots. If you want to be current Eagles players, and do you believe there is a spot where the Cowboys hold an advantage? I'll be really fascinated to see what comes out of that. And by fascinated, I guess I mean hopeful that people will give me more ideas, because I did go through this. I kind of struggled at finding a whole bunch of spots.
Oh, really?
Where I thought the Cowboys would hold an advantage.
Oh, no, so, no. Yeah, you definitely struggle with that. I can see.
There's that.
Did you see that interception N'Kobe Dean had in the end zone last week? That was an athletic play.
The Georgia guys, for them, have really been picking it up, and it is kind of terrifying. I'm going to go back to, this is the one thing I found in confidence, and you might be like, hey, that doesn't really help because that's in the past. Well, this is what I have to present to you. Dallas wins divisional games.
Okay.
All right? Like, it seems like even when they're bad, they do pretty solidly in divisional games. But going back to the beginning of 2021, Cowboys have the second best divisional record in all of football, behind only the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 17-3. Now, and the Cowboys are 16-3. Now, I know the agitating part about that is you're like, hey, we're the second best to the guy that wins Super Bowls and the team that wins Super Bowls. But I will tell you, while everything else has been falling apart for the Cowboys team, this is going to be the last step to see, can they still hold strong against divisional teams? Because if they can, and they can thrive against divisional teams, well, maybe they can do something and make the playoffs with a terrible record or a not great record. But if they can't, which unfortunately is what I'm thinking, then it's going to be tough to find stuff to hang your hat on.
Kevin, I don't blow up your Cowboys win, Cowboys lose for tomorrow.
Okay.
How are they against Vic Fangio? Because
that's a good question.
Mike McCarthy previously was 6-1 against Vic Fangio.
Ooh, okay.
And in the last two encounters with Dak, he's 0-2. And Vic Fangio, like, this was the moment, right? Whenever he said, hey, we're playing this shell protection, we're just playing deep. We're going to stop you from doing what you love to do, and that's making big plays downfield. And since then, it seems like the entire league was just like, all right, that's what we're doing too. We're going to force you to try to run the ball. We just do not want you striking downfield against us. And so that's what I fear.
Okay.
Now, the one thing I will say is this isn't Dak. And if you go, I did go back and watch Cooper Rush, and Cooper Rush drops back, gets the ball out quick, has good anticipation. There are some good qualities about him. I do wonder if that quick decision-making, if the Eagles can take advantage of that a little bit. And they're like, we know he has a clock he's trying to get it out before then. He's not going to make any plays with his feet. Like, you're not expecting him to run around, extend plays. So I do feel like the Vic Fangio is where I fear at the moment, because his defense, in the last couple of times that the Cowboys have met up with him, has really shut the Cowboys down pretty well.
Obviously, I'm going to throw Saquon Barkley in there.
Why?
Because if I didn't, Micah Parsons would. Now, he said this about Saquon Barkley, I believe, on his podcast on Monday. The Giants didn't appreciate him, and now the rest of the league is facing the consequences of the Giants' stupidity.
It's a fact.
Wow.
Like, that is a fact.
I mean, him and Derrick Henry, have they been the two biggest players for new teams?
Non-rookie. I was listening yesterday, and Peyton, who's on Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton show,
the host of WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Alec, on the boo. He said that that's the best offseason pickup for any team. And everybody was like, what about Derrick Henry? You know, and then your mind immediately goes, yes.
Yeah.
But those two running backs, they fall into situations perfect for them because the Eagles were looking for something to balance out what their offense is downfield. And Barkley is perfect for that because he does everything behind the line, right beyond the line, and he can bust downfield too. So, yes, Saquon Barkley, fear.
Okay. Saquon Barkley, fear. Other offensive things to look at. A.J. Brown. Now, I know the concern that people might be thinking is, hey, maybe he's not going to play. Or maybe that's what you're hoping for. Because he had a knee injury in the Jags game, and he already missed a few weeks with a hamstring injury. He returned to practice. It's still kind of touch and go. You know, Mike McCarthy said CeeDee Lamb had a good day. Mike Parsons said he's going to play in this game. And so A.J. Brown looks like he's trending to be much more likely in this game than maybe I might have thought on Sunday or Monday. And even though he's already missed several games, he still has 23 catches for 444 yards. So he's averaging, what, like 19 yards per catch? Mm-hmm. And has three touchdowns in his five games. So if he plays, it still feels like inherently he'll automatically be a threat.
You know, when T.O. was an Eagle, it was the fear of him going downfield and beating you downfield, but then also on those drag routes, he could turn it into a 40-yard play.
Unless you horse-carled him and broke his leg.
Yes, exactly, unless you horse-carled him.
I lost that word.
It's okay, horse-collared. But that was the, like, you knew that T.O. was that kind of receiver. A.J. Brown's like that, too, where he turns a crossing pattern into a huge play, and you're trying to tackle him, but he's so big that he's tough to tackle. So, yeah, I mean, A.J. Brown is a huge weapon. We discussed yesterday, Kevin, Devontae Smith plays. He's like, is it the Ant-Man? You know, like he plays bigger than he is. He plays Mighty Mouse. I don't know what his, I haven't even looked for a nickname on him. But there are plays that he makes that I'm like, that's a play I would expect A.J. Brown to make. Now, A.J. Brown will just stiff arm you and shoulder you to the ground. But when it comes to, you know, reaching up and grabbing a football out of the air or just being out in front of you, Devontae Smith makes fantastic catches, too. It's a perfect combination with those three. So that's where I say my biggest fear is Jalen Hurts. He's not running as much, but he can run effectively.
He can.
The tush-push is still as effective as it has ever been. And he is playing confident and more accurate than we've seen him, than we saw him last year. He's almost back to 2 years ago.
And he's not turning the ball over. Yeah. That's a huge thing. He is not turning the ball over.
Was it in the in training camp, was it every day, or were they counting down? They were like, he hasn't turned it over at all. And everybody was like, is that good or bad?
Because you hear the stats like, oh, for a while, most turnovers this year, then most turnovers this year and last year, and then the last 3 years combined. So you continue to see it again and again, but he's been relatively clean these last 3 or 4 weeks.
Everybody's saying Slim Reaper. That's the Devontae Smith nickname. Is the Slim
Reaper.
Okay,
there you go. There you go.
The dude has a nice fit every day going in on game day as well.
Now, we talked about a lot of offensive stuff, and obviously you can go back if you want to Lane Johnson.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And is still good at football and all. That their offensive line is still good at football and all of that.
Duke Manyweather, you trust him on offensive line
stuff?
I do.
He was standing up for Terrence Steele after that game last weekend.
Correctly. So he said Lane Johnson is playing at a level that nobody's seen.
Yeah.
And right now, like he's the elite offensive lineman. And that's saying something considering how long he's been in the league and how long he's been doing it.
So that's a lot. Right?
It's a lot. But especially when you feel like you're a team that's missing a lot.
And then the bad part that I'm going to say is the defense is actually playing better than the offense right now. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Since the bye week, so Philadelphia rolled into their bye 2-2. Not really looking too good. Had the bye week. Since week 6, they are first in the following defensive categories. Total defense, passing defense, rushing defense, defensive points allowed per game, and sacks. Now, you consider that you just went up against a team in the Falcons that had been getting no pressure on anybody. There were 8 players in the league that had more sacks than the Atlanta Falcons as a team. And did you feel like the offensive line did a good job against Atlanta? Not really, no. Right? Like as a whole unit, not singling out individual players. And so if you're struggling against the worst, like what in the world is this offensive line going to do against what defense has been the best the last month of NFL football?
Yeah, and you feel comfortable. Confident that Lamb is going to get open, that Lamb is going to give you an opportunity for, okay, so that's a no.
Okay.
Then what I'm about to say isn't going to be any better.
Okay, can I tell you why I sighed too? Is because they pushed the ball to CeeDee Lamb in the last game. Like they absolutely got the ball to CeeDee Lamb, but it didn't have an impact in terms of yardage. He got targeted 12 times in the last game. He had 8 catches for 47 yards.
Okay.
So, like,
they
made a focus.
Not efficient.
Let's get the ball to him, and he wasn't able to get down the field, partially because there wasn't a lot of time to throw the ball.
So, to add to that, then, because of the pressure that you're assuming, Cooper DeJean.
Is it DeJean? I thought it was DeJean.
Since week 6. 85.7 coverage grade, 3rd among all cornerbacks.
Great.
Quinyon Mitchell has literally been perfect for the last month. Targeted 15 times, only allowed 8 catches, 73 total yards, no touchdowns allowed. So when it comes to what they're doing as cornerback, slot corner, wherever they put them on the field, the grades are high for those guys, and they're playing at an elite level. And again, Fangio has had a tradition of having players that play at that level. So that's you know, Mitchell, plug and play kind of dude. It's they have that on that side of the ball, and the Cowboys have that to contend to with a backup quarterback.
And then we get to Jalen Carter, who I actually, the further we go into this segment, the less I like it, because like I told you, I was struggling for some positivity with a specific matchup. Jalen Carter, he tied for a career high in pressures.
It was Jacksonville, Kevin.
Okay, fair.
Right, does that count?
Jacksonville does stink.
Okay.
But consider this.
So there's some hope.
He had 6 pressures against Jacksonville. 3 of them were against double teams. So half of the pressures he got were off of double teams. And because I know we're like, well, you got to chip. You got to be able to double team. Okay, agreed. I'm just telling you that when that happened last week, Jalen Carter still had his way. And if we talk about Jacksonville sucking, well, our record's not that much better than Jacksonville.
One more win.
Hell yeah.
And Kevin, he was...
You want more losses at this point so you can get a better draft pick.
That is a fair assessment, probably.
Are you going to root for the Cowboys to lose?
I don't think I can do that, even though, Mike, like your question is totally fine, totally normal. I know it's better for the long-term health of this team if they start piling up losses right now. But I'm telling you, if it's 20-17, there's a minute left, and the Cowboys are driving to try to win the game, I'm going to be rooting for them to win, even though the other part of my brain's like, it's best if they lose. I don't think I'm very good at being able to like separate those things, you know?
Last year there was kind of a, what's going on with Jalen Carter? Why isn't he on the field? Why isn't he doing that? And last year he was on the field for about 51% of his snaps as a rookie.
Yeah. And the last game he was in the game a ton.
This year he's so far 79% of the snaps. Last week he only left the field twice. So he's going to be out there so much, and he is that effective now. He caught up to what the NFL game is, and he was already that good in college.
And if you wonder, how does that translate? What do people think about the way he's playing? He's 3rd in NFL interior linemen in a pass rush grade at an 84.7. So, to Corey's point, he's getting on the field more and more. And
he's as good. He never drops off.
Yes.
So, good luck there. All right, I got it.
Tell me a good thing.
I
realize there's a lot of...
It's only one game.
That's true.
It's only 3 hours of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be over.
Oh, well, it wasn't as positive as I was hoping for.
I got you. This year.
You never know.
Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, is 100% on his extra points.
Related to Lynn Elliott?
No, I don't know. But only 77% on field goal attempts.
Okay.
Brandon, we have an advantage, Kevin, in Brandon Aubrey.
Look.
And his long is 49. Our dude's long is like 60-something almost.
49 is probably Brandon Aubrey's like seventh longest kick this year.
He closes his eyes and does that backwards.
I'll tell you, if we can slog out...
That would be amazing. I want him to try that. Kick it backwards, like with his heel.
See how he can do it?
I guess I would be kicking it backwards. I'd just be kicking it with your heel, but you go into it backwards. You really show Saquon who's the backwards guy.
I support... Any Cowboys game where they can get into an ugly game now where it turns into a battle of the field goals. Rest of the year. This weekend, next week, every game. If you can drive this thing into the muck and you're like, this game is awful to watch, but it's a battle of field goals. Great. Because I think we're going to do way better with that than we would.
Unfortunately, though, Kevin, just looking at the last 4 weeks for them, and granted, Cleveland, Giants, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, it's 20-plus points every week.
And the thing that worries me is, I know Cincinnati still doesn't have a great record. They have been playing better, and Philadelphia, like, squashed their momentum, so then they had to start building it up again.
We'll do it. We'll figure it out.
Okay, good.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.